Thankful for the Lord's blessings today and thankful for each one that's here. I'd like to begin reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 9 and 9 says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life. And in the labor which thou takest under the sun." Now the scripture says to live joyfully in the days of thine vanity. And in this context, vanity means something transitory and unsatisfactory. Do you think of this life as transitory and unsatisfactory? Let's read in Job chapter 14. Job 14, Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." So yes, life in that sense is vanity. It is short. Man's like a flower that is cut down. And there's a lot of trouble in this life. So in that sense, life is unsatisfactory. But so what are we supposed to do? If life is short and life is unsatisfactory in that there are a lot of troubles in this life, what are we supposed to do? It says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy vanity. It says, for that is thy portion in this life. God has given every one of us a portion of time, a portion of opportunities. And some have a lot more than others. So whatever portion of time, of opportunities we have in this life, let's live joyfully. Live joyfully, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Is life hard work? You remember what God told Adam? Genesis 3 and 19, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." So this life is a lot of hard work, isn't it? This life is transitory. We came out of the dust, we're going back into the dust. So we have to make a decision. What are we going to do in this short life that we have? You look at what people are doing today. Some people are drifting. Some people are taking good advantage of their time. So what we are to do is live joyfully in thy labor. And I want to say, in other words, put your whole heart into it. I am fascinated by men who achieve great things, far greater things than I've ever achieved. Have you ever been interested in reading about scientists, inventors, businessmen that went on to do great things, especially during the Industrial Revolution? It's just amazing how prolific some of those inventors were, and the types of things they came up with just amazes me. What about businessmen? Some men that from nothing practically just created business empires. Just amazing, isn't it? I'm fascinated by it, and I'm interested in what made those men do what they did. There are also people in the kingdom of heaven who have achieved great things for the Lord. We can think of a lot of them, can't we? What about Abraham? What about Moses? What about Daniel? What about Nehemiah? Think of Apostle Paul. Did he achieve anything in his life? What about Peter? Impetuous Peter. He really accomplished something in my mind. It's a lot better than just drifting through life and accomplishing nothing. Now, I mentioned the people that achieve high things in this world. They're interesting to me, but in another respect, I feel sorry for those people. Because Jesus asked this question, what shall it gain a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, Ecclesiastes instructs us to live joyfully, acknowledges the fact that this life is short, that this life has a lot of trouble in it. So what are we to do? Give up? Are we to succumb to the troubles? Are we to bemoan the fact that we were born? No, we are to live joyfully in this life. We are to put our whole heart. In fact, if you were to study all these men that achieved great things, from people that did it in this literal world, from Alexander the Great to whoever it may be, and you compare, and also the folks who achieved great things in the kingdom of heaven, you would find a common thread, I believe, and that is they put their whole heart into it. I'd like to read in 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 17. Second Kings 9 and 17, there stood a watchman on the tower in Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came and said, I see a company. And Joram said, take an horseman and send to meet them and let him say, is it peace? So there went one on horseback to meet him and said, thus saith the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, the messenger came to them, but he came not again. Then he set out a second on horseback, which came to them and said, thus saith the king, is it peace? And Jehu answered, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, he came even unto them and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. And Joram said, make ready, and his chariot was made ready. And Joram the king of Israel and Ahaziah the king of Judah went out, each in his chariot, and they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth the Jezreelite. They saw him a long way away, the watchman did. And he said, his driving is like that of Jehu, for he driveth furiously. You ever met anybody like that? Somebody that was just full of, what do you call it? energy in life. This man was a man on a mission. Jehu was anointed at the command of God as the 10th king in Israel. And Jehu's mission was to execute judgment against the house of Ahab and Judah because of their idolatry. He was a man on a mission. And when he drove furiously. He didn't drive like some Sunday afternoon driver that was on his way to go fishing. This man was a man on the mission. And the question is, how are we going about life? Now, I know we have different personalities and makeups and all, different energy levels, different ages. But my question is, what kind of passion are we putting in whatever it is that we're doing in life? Back to Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Whatever you're going to do, do it with your might for two reasons. One is that life is most fulfilling when you put your whole heart into it. The second reason is we're running out of time. So whatever we're going to do, we better hurry and get it done. Let's turn to John chapter 9 and verse 4. John 9 and 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The fact that the night is coming means that we better be spending our time wisely, don't you think? The fact that night is coming means that whatever preparations we need to do while there's light, we better get them made. The fact that night is coming means that we don't have any time to waste in sin. The song is so sad that says, wasted years, oh how foolish. See, night is coming and we can't go back and reclaim those years. So whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Put your heart into it. Put your heart into serving God. Now I said, life is most fulfilling when we put our whole heart into it. Let me qualify that. That's only if we're in the kingdom of heaven. Now, yes, I guess it's true in the business world. To go to a job and to have your heart and mind somewhere else, that's awfully boring. So if you're going to work, might as well put your heart into that. But for life to truly be fulfilling, first of all, you have to be in the kingdom of heaven. Young people, that is the most exciting life you can possibly have, is being in the kingdom of heaven. And once you're there, put your whole heart into it. Time is running out. The night is coming. While I have my right mind, while I have what youth I do have, what strength I have, I better be doing the works that I need to do. Proverbs says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Isn't it something how life can change so drastically? Don't say, I'm going to do that out in the future sometime. We do not know what a day will bring forth. We don't know what opportunities are going to be gone because we chose to procrastinate. James chapter 4 and verse 13. James 4 and 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Has life ever taken an unexpected turn for you? Have opportunities ever been gone that you wish somehow you could just recreate? We never know what the morrow holds, do we? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. This life is short. Let us read in Psalms chapter 90. Psalm 90 and 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. But man is not that way. Look at verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. No matter how much strength we have, no matter how much is going our way in this world, even though the wicked seem to prosper, the Lord is going to turn man to destruction. See, we're going back to dust that we came from. Sayest, return ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. If somebody told me I had 1,000 years to get a job done, I'd feel like that's pretty much forever, wouldn't you? In fact, our lives seem like they are forever almost, don't they? Is it real to you that your life will come to an end? It's hard to get a hold of, especially for young people, that life is actually going to come to an end at some point. 1,000 years, wow, I'm not even going to get close to 1,000. But imagine 1,000 years, but to someone that is eternal, that's like nothing. It's as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. This is how people are. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Man is like grass. He is like a sleep that seems like it is over so quickly. Like a vapor that appears for such a short time, and then you see no trace. May the reality of that soak into us a little this morning. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, which is 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, which is 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. When we get a real grasp on the brevity of life, on the reality that it's not just that person that's going to pass away, I am going to pass away as well. When that thought really soaks in, when we really get an understanding of that, what does it cause us to do? Oh, Lord, help me to be wise in the days that I have left, to apply my heart to wisdom, to take advantage while it's still day before the night comes. Lord, help me to live joyfully in this life, to apply myself, to not waste my time away. But Lord, I want there to be something accomplished through my life. I want to say today that today is the time to make our wrongs right. Luke chapter 19. And verse 2. Start with verse 1. Luke 19 and 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. A lot of folks, I think, would like this story to end right there for their own lives. To be chief, to be rich, what more can you want in life than to have position recognized by men? To have anything your heart desires, you can just pay for it. To have people in the marketplace say, there goes Zacchaeus. Do you realize what kind of power he has? Have you seen his latest estate? You know, there are people that long for those kinds of things, but Lord, help us to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Jesus didn't say, Zacchaeus, keep on building wealth. Keep your position of power. You have it made, Zacchaeus. You have arrived. No, he said, today. See, Jesus knew that night was coming. He knew that there was a time that Zacchaeus' wealth would do nothing for him. He knew that there were wrongs in this man's life that needed to be righted. He knew that there were blessings that Zacchaeus was missing in spite of how well life was going for him. Zacchaeus, there is a life that is fulfilled. There's a life that is exciting. You're missing it. Today, Jesus is passing by. Today, Jesus is speaking to our hearts and he's saying, today is the day. Today is the day that we need to take care of some things. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 7 and 11. For behold, this same thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. What revenge. In all these things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Zacchaeus sorrowed after a godly sorrow. He was sorry for the life he had lived. Instead of being glad that he had been able to accumulate wealth through his dishonesty, he had this godly desire, this godly sorrow, and godly desire to clear himself. And he made haste, back to Luke 19 and 6, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Oh, what a Savior. What a Lord of love. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation has come to this house. For as much he also is a son of Abraham. Now the sons of Abraham despised Zacchaeus. He was a crook. He oppressed them. He cheated them. But he was a son of Abraham. And Jesus loved him. And Jesus said, today is the day. You see, night comes when no man can work. Night comes when there's no more opportunity to repay the debts. God help us. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Today is the day to tell our loved ones, I love you. I remember the time my grandmother died. Lenita and I went to see her at the nursing home in Shawnee. And we didn't know that was our last time to see her. We did not know that we were the last family members that would see her. And that evening we were getting ready to go back home. And she was saying, Doug, don't leave me. I want you to stay here tonight. Meemaw, I've got to go to work. She said, I'll pay you. Well, you know how it is with older people. I went home anyway and went to work. And that night she passed away, I guess, in her sleep. I had some regrets. Should have I stayed? I don't know. But I do wish I would have just said, Mimo, I love you. Forgive my emotion, but folks, we're running out of time. There are people we love, and this is our chance just to tell them, just to let them know. This day is our opportunity to pray for the lost. Why? Because their time is running out. Because our time to pray is running out. Today's the day. The song says, while in life is time accepted to prepare to meet the Lord. Be assured he is faithful to fulfill his holy word. Soon the summer will be ended. You see, soon it will be night when no man can work. Soon it will be night for me and for you. And the harvest will be o'er. Soon the day of offered mercy will be past forevermore. It ought to give us some motivation. Lord, help me today to live joyfully, to put my whole heart into this life, into doing what is right. Today is the day. Today is the day to visit the sick. I have another memory. In 1980, I worked for a man. I mowed lawns of his various properties, and he was a self-made man. He was rich. This man loved a lifestyle of drinking and women and wealth. I felt I had gotten saved, and I felt like I need to talk to this man about his soul. Then I got word, after I delayed and delayed, I got word he was in the hospital, and it wasn't long he had passed away in his early 50s. See, today is our opportunity to visit the sick, to pray for the lost. James said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Today's our day to comfort the feeble-minded. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are ungodly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. How can I comfort the feeble-minded if I am pushing my way through life so hard and fast that I'm pushing people out of the way? That I don't have time for the weak, for the feeble-minded. And you know what? A day may come that I'm weak and feeble-minded. Then what? Lord, help us to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Today is the day to sow good seed. Ecclesiastes 11:4 tells us, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Just too windy today, I think I'll stay in. Better not do that if you're an Oklahoma farmer, right? He that regardeth the clouds, no, a little too overcast today. What are you going to do at harvest time? Just a little longer, just a little longer in sin. I'm still young, I still have time. Today is the day to start putting the good seed in the ground so that you will be blessed in your life. Young people, the single most exciting life you can possibly have is living for the Lord and putting your whole heart into it. Today is the day. Did you know that procrastination is our enemy? Tomorrow never comes. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed it's always today? It's never tomorrow. So if you are waiting for tomorrow, and you keep waiting for tomorrow to get saved, you will never be saved. I'd like to share an excerpt from a poem with you by Henry Longfellow. It's called A Psalm of Life. Trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act. Act in the living present. Heart within and God overhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. And departing, leave behind us footprints in the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing, shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait. Act in the living present. He said, lives of great men all remind us we can make our life sublime. Find inspiration in people that have achieved great things in life. We've been inspired by those that have gone before us, haven't we? The word sublime means high or exalted. Every one of us can have a wonderful, fulfilled life. But we're going to have to live joyfully. We're going to have to put our heart into it. The song says, stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. What are you trusting in today? Is it your portfolio, your insurance policies, your intellect, your physical strength? That's going to fail you. Instead, put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer. Where calls the voice of duty? Be never wanting there. There's a voice of duty calling today. There are vacancies in the kingdom of heaven. There are vacancies for prayer warriors. In fact, I don't know of a much more important job than that of prayer warrior. Sister Nelda Sorrow comes to mind. She wasn't able to get out and do a whole lot physically, but that dear sister could pray. Prayer works. Prayer changes things. Prayer moves the heart of God. There are vacancies today for prayer warriors. Do we have any volunteers? Where calls the voice of duty? Be never wanting there. There are openings today for Sunday school teachers, for ministers, for chapel cleaners, for translators, young people. Foreign language is very, very valuable. I crave it. I wish I could speak so well in other languages. And while you're young is the very best time. It's where you can hear the nuances of sound, of pronunciation. You can memorize. You can grasp the language. If you wait till you're halfway through life, it's harder. Today is the day. There are openings in the kingdom of heaven for web developers that will take their intellect, their skills, and use it to get the gospel to the world. There are openings today for audio people, for helpers in general. God help us. John 4 and 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You see, he lived joyfully in this life. Whatsoever his hand found to do, he did with his might. He put his heart into it, and he accomplished great things. My meat, the thing that motivates me, the thing that I get up in the morning for, is to do the will of him that sent me. A co-worker of Sam Walton, founder of Walmart, shared a memory. They were in a hotel, and early in the morning, Sam Walton was there knocking on his door, ready for him to get up. What did he want to do? He wanted to get to business. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might. I have meat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months. Say not ye, I am still young and I want to enjoy my life in sin for a season. Say not ye, I can do something for the Lord after I retire. We'll wait till we get our children raised. When we get our children raised, then we can be more active for the Lord. Say not ye 4 months. The field is white for harvest now. Today, people are in need. Our world is hurting. Our nation is in trouble. Our young people are drunk on sin. Suicide rates are at an all-time high, as far as I know, in our military. Is this time for us to be wealth building? Living selfish lives? Living with me in mind and me only? Say not, there are 4 months. And then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. How far do you think the rich man had to lift up his eyes to see Lazarus there? Do you think he ever saw him as he walked in and out of his palatial home? Lift up your eyes. There's this poor man lying right here. There are people over here that are sick in the hospital. There are people in foreign lands. There are your co-workers that are hurting, that need a godly example. There are lessons to be taught to the young people. Say not ye there 4 months. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. Listen, there's something more than the meat this world has to offer us. He that reapeth receiveth wages. And gathereth fruit unto what? Life eternal. For himself and for the others that he wins into the kingdom. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You may feel like you already are putting your whole heart into it. And maybe you are. I feel like I have room that I need to move up. My question I'd like to leave with you today is, what would it be like from this day forward if we could change the rest of our lives, regardless of whatever the past has been, if we could change the rest of our lives from this day forward, what would it be like if we decided we would be as much service in the kingdom of heaven as possible? What would it be like if from this day forward we would decide, I want to be the best congregation member I can possibly be? So that if everybody that showed up was exactly like me, we would have wonderful church services. What would it be like if from this day forward I focused less on myself and more on others? How much more rich would my life be, do you suppose? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Amen.